Asia.
Bangladesh. The revolution may yet devour its children. The interim government faces calls for elections and retribution for Sheikh Hasina.
It was a fleeting honeymoon. When Muhammad Yunus, the 84-year-old caretaker leader of Bangladesh, took office after the overthrow of Sheikh Hasina as Prime Minister on August 5th, many in the country celebrated, especially the students who had led the uprising. Most Bangladeshis welcomed the Nobel laureate's pledge to organise fair elections once he had completed enough structural reforms to curb the corruption and political violence that has long plagued the nation of 173 million people. No matter that he set no timeline, he was building a new Bangladesh. His interim government has since done much to restore stability. Yet, after 3 months in power, it faces mounting pressure to improve day-to-day governance, define its reform agenda, and set a date for elections. That pressure spilled onto the streets of Dhaka, the capital, on November 8th, when the Bangladesh Nationalist Party, or BNP, the arch-rival of Sheikh Hasina's Awami League, or AL, staged its first big rally since her ousting. A country needs an elected government, says Riaz Islam, a BNP activist at the rally. America's presidential election also presents new challenges. Donald Trump is a skeptic of overseas aid, which Bangladesh needs, and of climate change, which affects it severely. Moreover, Mr. Trump is chummy with India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi, who forged close ties with Sheikh Hasina and has sheltered her in India since she fled Dhaka. On October 31st, Mr. Trump echoed Indian concerns on X, formerly Twitter, by condemning barbaric violence against Bangladesh's Hindu minority, saying the mostly Muslim country was in chaos. That is hyperbole. Security in Bangladesh is still precarious after the riots, which were sparked by an attempt to reserve many government jobs for AL loyalists. The police accused of killing hundreds of student protesters fear retribution. Some are in hiding, but most have returned to their posts. Basic security has improved, and though there have been attacks on Hindus and other minorities, independent observers say much of that violence was directed at AL supporters and has abated. Meanwhile, the economy, though still fragile, has stabilised. Remittances from abroad have rebounded, bolstering foreign reserves. Merchandise exports rose by 21% year-on-year in October, driven by ready-made garments, an engine of growth. Even so, the weeks ahead will be hazardous for a government that has no constitutional basis and depends on popular support. Mr. Yunus set up 10 commissions to recommend judicial, electoral, police and other reforms by the end of the year. Many of his supporters want him in power for another year, possibly two, to implement those reforms. Their fear is that he will be forced to hold elections much earlier, crushing hopes for structural change. A previous caretaker government tried similar reforms in vain between 2007 and 2008, after violence between the AL and BNP forced the army to intervene. On day-to-day governance, there are no easy fixes. Food price inflation, which was nearly 13% in October year-on-year, is a particular concern. So too is electricity, especially since India's Adani Group, which provides about 10% of Bangladesh's electricity, curbed supplies due to payment arrears, which the government says it is now dealing with. Severe flooding since August has damaged rice production. The interim government also lacks bureaucratic experience. Sheikh Hasina's last cabinet had 36 members. The interim government has 24 advisers, most with more than one portfolio. Mr. Yunus has overseen defence, public administration, tourism, food and aviation for most of the past 3 months. He dropped the last three in a reshuffle on November 10th. His domestic security chief handles agriculture too. Some also question the appointment of two student leaders to head the Ministry of Telecommunications and Information Technology and the Ministry of Labour and Employment, one was moved to a lesser role in the reshuffle. On the political front, many students want more radical action, such as replacing the president, a Sheikh Hasina loyalist, and banning the AL. The BNP, however, opposes both moves, wary that it too could be banned, given its alleged abuses in power from 2001 to 2006. The BNP has stepped up demands for early elections. Mirza Fakhrul Islam Alamgir, its general secretary, thinks they should be held by June. Other party leaders have threatened regular protests if a timeline is not set by February. That may be posturing. Khalida Zia, the BNP's 79-year-old chairwoman, is heading abroad shortly for treatment of liver cirrhosis. Tariq Rahman, her son and the party's acting chairman, has lived in London since 2008 and has not said when he will return. Still, the later the election, the longer other parties have to challenge the BNP. Jamaat-e-Islami, the biggest Islamist party which was banned by Sheikh Hasina, appears more patient. Shafiqur Rahman, its leader, says elections should be held by the end of 2025. His party is fighting for recovery of our might, he says, at its newly refurbished headquarters, which reopened in August after 13 years. So far, Mr. Yunus has deflected calls to replace the president or schedule elections. He has fudged the issue of the AL's future, banning its student wing and forbidding the party from holding rallies, while saying its future is up to Bangladesh's other parties. But managing such differences while building consensus for reforms gets harder by the day, says Iftekhar Zaman, who heads the Bangladesh chapter of Transparency International, a global anti-corruption organisation. He says Mr. Yunus might have won a mandate for more time in power had he outlined reform plans in August or September when public unity was greater. Mr. Yunus's other big headache is diplomatic. India fears an Islamist resurgence and greater Chinese influence in Bangladesh. Mr. Yunus has tried to reassure India, but to succeed, he needs to ensure Hindus' safety in Bangladesh. He should also avoid picking fights despite public pressure to do so over issues including the Adani power deal and cross-border water disputes. As for Sheikh Hasina's sanctuary in India, the interim government has pledged to seek her extradition. India is unlikely to comply, so a subtler approach may be needed. Tuhid Hossein, Bangladesh's foreign advisor, says that he has yet to formally request extradition and her presence in India should not hinder bilateral ties, although it would be better if she keeps quiet. Mr. Yunus now has to court Mr. Trump too. America pledged nearly $1.2 billion in aid to Bangladesh between 2021 and 2026, less than half of which it has dispensed. Bangladesh is also in the middle of a $4.7 billion bailout from the IMF, of which Mr. Trump is a sceptic. And American authorities are helping Bangladesh's central bank to retrieve some of the $17 billion that it says was siphoned abroad from banks under Sheikh Hasina. Asan Mansur, governor of the central bank, thinks that could take up to 5 years. Although he expects to recover only a fraction of the money, he hopes the legal wrangles will deter others. The future of such cooperation is uncertain. Still, with deft diplomacy, Bangladesh may be able to exploit the Trump administration's anticipated focus on China. The Chinese government has already pledged $2 billion in loans and grants and is discussing $5 billion more, says Mr. Hossein, the foreign advisor. That has nothing to do with China-America tensions, he adds. Xi Jinping, China's leader, and Mr. Trump might disagree.